Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. As artificial intelligence gains acceptance and prominence, moms wonder if this technology will destroy the job market and therefore the future of our children. Our guest today says the best hedge of protection for their careers is to provide kids with a classical education. Find out more next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad that you moms are joining us again this week. Special welcome. Every episode, we get together to encourage, inspire, and educate moms on their journey through motherhood. Alrighty, on to today's program. Dr. Kathleen O'Toole is the Associate Vice President for K-12 Education at Hillsdale College. Now, before that, she was the founding headmaster of Founders Classical Academy of Leander, a classical charter school. Now, she has taught at both the high school and college levels, and she serves currently on the board of the Classic Learning Test. Welcome, Dr. O'Toole. We're so glad to have you joining us on the Moms for America podcast.
Debbie, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, Doctor, I just want to get a couple of things. I want our tribe to get to know you and know your home, your kiddos. You have two?
Yep. I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old son.
So that's, what was their names? You told me fair. Scarlett and William, is that it?
Charlotte and William. Yeah.
So busy times for you.
Yes, it's a very busy time. They're more independent than they were a year ago, but we're a very tight-knit little family, and I love being with them. It's the best thing that I do.
Let's talk a little bit about balancing your position, your associate vice president right there at Hillsdale College. You got two little ones. You know, these are things that moms are trying to figure out pretty regularly now. How do we balance being a mom, which is our most important job, with our hopes and our dreams and, you know, contributing? And here you're helping with academics and education. How do you figure it all out? This is what we're all trying to do, right? Every day is trying to figure out how to balance it all without compromising being a mom.
Yeah. Well, I think it begins by recognizing what you just said, which is that our most important work is being mothers to our children. And, you know, there's nothing like it in the world. My mother is very important to me. My mother was always there for me when I was growing up. And I want to be that for my children. And I know that that may involve waiting on doing things for my career or, you know, just focusing on my children during this season of life and letting other opportunities on the back burner. And although that is a change from the way that I worked before I was a parent, I welcome that change. And I'm surrounded by a community of people that also thinks this way. And so it's, you know, it comes from a kind of a respect for the importance of motherhood and the importance of letting it be the central thing, especially while your children are so little.
Yeah. And what a blessing that is for you, for our moms that work with our organization, just being at a company where they prioritize motherhood and having that flexibility. So
yes, that is absolutely,
that is very nice to have those options. Let's talk a little bit about your position and Hillsdale College. I mean, when we think of Hillsdale College, we don't think of kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, you know, right? We don't think of grammar school education, but this is something that's become very important to the college. Can you explain that a little bit to us so we understand what's happening there and what they're offering?
Sure. Well, Hillsdale College is a liberal arts college in southern Michigan. It's over 180 years old, and it has a long history of independence and of remaining committed to its founding mission, which is to teach all who wish to learn. The college has its roots in the abolitionist movement, and it has since its earliest days had a deep commitment to the liberal arts and to the belief that a well-rounded liberal arts education is essential for happiness in life, not just success professionally in life.
Yes.
And so it's a blessing here to work at Hillsdale College because it's so steadfast in its pursuit of its mission. It's an interesting college because it has, for a long time, had a significant outreach effort in addition to the undergraduate and graduate programs that are here in Hillsdale and in our campus in Washington, D.C. And that outreach effort comes because Hillsdale College does not accept any funding from the federal government or
From
the
the
state
government.
government.
Yes, no strings
Because,
attached now,
yeah,
huh?
well, with that funding often comes
Right.
compromise. And the
Yeah.
college has been pretty steadfast that it will not compromise and it will live by its mission. And so over the years, it has enlisted the support of many people who are friends of that mission and become a kind of a teaching institution for the nation, not just the students who are enrolled here at the undergraduate and graduate campuses. And
So
the
I'm
K-12
right.
work is,
Yeah, that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. Amen to all that, because the government's money comes with so many strings attached to it. And we've seen what's happened to the decay of public education on so many levels in the universities. So how refreshing Hillsdale College is. And for them to now do an outreach to K through 12, has this always been, or is this kind of a new program? I wanted to get up to speed on that.
Well, it grows as the years go by, but it's been going on for a long time. Our first K through 12 outreach started in 1990, which is, 30 years ago now.
Okay.
We have a private school here on campus. That was our first K through 12 related outreach project. And it's a private classical school for the community here in Hillsdale, but it from its
Oh, I
very
see.
beginnings shared its curriculum, shared its teaching approach with other private schools across the country. It's called Hillsdale Academy, and there are many hundreds of schools across the country who have learned from Hillsdale Academy's culture and its curriculum. We've added to that work over the years. We started a major initiative in the year two, what was it, 2000, called the Hoagland Center for Teacher Excellence. And that came out of a recognition that many teachers in typical American K through 12 schools are coming from teaching colleges that have trained them in the methods of teaching. And of course, you do need to understand the methods of teaching to be a teacher, but you also need to understand deeply the content that you are teaching.
Right.
And so we thought, wouldn't it be wonderful for these teachers to have an opportunity to go back to college and learn from Hillsdale College professors about economics and music and science and literature
Oh,
and
yeah.
history? And so we've had this conference going. It travels across the country. It's free for any teacher, K through 12, that would like to attend. And it's an opportunity to kind of revisit the foundations of the particular subject that they teach and learn some practical tips for teaching it more effectively or just in an exciting way when they go back into the classroom.
Nice. So resources for teachers and then resources actually for K through 12 that is that you can duplicate, that you can utilize across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. We do a lot of work with schools. We have member schools and curriculum schools who are using Hillsdale's recommended curriculum, which we have built here at Hillsdale College over the last several decades. And they also use our model for classical education. We've been working to help local groups get classical schools started for about 15 years now, both private schools and public charter schools. And we've developed over the course of that work a kind of a roadmap to founding a classical school, both a private school and a public charter school. And we work with about 90 of those schools across the country. Every year we help new founding groups bring new
Wow.
campuses into existence. And then a lot of the resources that we use in those schools are made available through the Hoagland Center for Teacher Excellence and just on our website for any teacher who's looking to see what tried and true curriculum instruction looks like.
Yeah, which is a lost art, obviously, in today's day and age. What would be, for the moms that aren't familiar with a classical education, can you define that for us? Because that really has some certain elements of it included in that that are really amazing for education and for our kids, our students.
Yeah, it's a new term for many, but it's in fact a kind of an old term and kind of a tried and true concept. Classical education is the kind of education that was offered in most American schools two or three generations ago. It's an education that provides students a solid foundation in both the humanities and the sciences and all of the core subjects that you need to have to understand more advanced things when you complete your high school years. The thought with a
Like,
classical
okay.
education is that there's a kind of a body of knowledge that any person needs to have before they start specializing or focusing on a specific career. And so if you go to a classical school, you'll learn all of that content, real history, beautiful literature by reading whole books. Classical schools are also notable because they are thoughtful about teaching students the skills that they are going to need in order to do that higher level work in literature and history and mathematics.
Much more
Students in
on
class.
thinking, right? Much more on the process of debate and thinking and not being told, but kind of working through discovery a little bit. Is that a good way of saying it?
Yeah, we work with primary source documents in history. Students are they learn to read using explicit phonics and grammar. They diagram sentences, they write in cursive, they learn to do mathematical calculations in their heads so they don't have to rely on the calculator. It's just kind of good, solid, foundation for thinking well and reading well. Writing is a big focus in classical schools too. And the other kind of difference in a classical education is we remember something that I think has been lost in mainstream American education, although it is sort of there underneath the surface. S school is not just about filling your mind with a bunch of information. School is about learning to be the human being that you're going to be when you grow up. And of course, your parents are the most important forces in your life for shaping that when you're a child, but it also happens at school. And so schools should be paying attention to teaching students virtue, teaching students to live well and choose well so that they can be happy in life and
Moral
not.
characteristics of,
Yeah.
right. And
Yeah.
how do you incorporate that in a classical education?
Well, I think the first thing is recognizing that it's present no matter whether you incorporate it intentionally or not. Any parent knows that the one thing their child wants when their child is young is to be older, and that when you send your child to school, you're sending them to a community of people, including a bunch of older kids, and those children who are young are going to learn lessons about what life is like and how to act and how to be from watching those older kids and the adults in that school too. And so moral education, education in how to live and what is right and what is wrong, that's just a part of education. And the difference with classical schools is we pay attention to it and we think carefully about how to teach students about their character, about what it means to form the virtues, to behave in a friendly way, in a moderate way, in a courageous way.
I love that.
And by teaching it explicitly as part of the curriculum and then also just in our usual interactions with students, we help them make sense of something that's really important to make sure it doesn't just happen accidentally or in a kind of a haphazard way as they're going through school.
And I love that because parents are sending their kids to schools that are teaching the complete opposite, or they're hiding agendas, or they're indoctrinating the children with a progressive ideology. And so when you talk about a civic virtue or a moral compass being threaded through education, That is so refreshing and so important now. And that used to be very standard, right? And now it's become kind of, I guess, just discarded because what moral compass are we all going by in today's society? And that I guess that's really a part of the big debate happening in the school because someone may agree with the right, the left, the middle, and there is no absolute truth.
Yeah, I think I think you're right that we've kind of lost a sense of what the purpose of education is. I still think schools are full of teachers and parents who really want to do right by their
Oh,
children.
sure.
The resources that they're working with are just so it's slim pickings. It's slim pickings, and they lack a kind of a robust vision for the purpose of school, for what an educated child looks like. For what the curriculum ought to be, for what the teachers, the resources the teachers ought to be working with. And so classical education, part of the reason that it's catching on again is it's real, it's meaty, it's true, it speaks to our desire as parents to give our children real things, worthy things, substantive things while they're little, so that they can be really ready and capable and happy people when they grow up.
Yeah, so true. And the other thing I was just going to say about classical schools and private, whether it's homeschooling, I mean, their parents are looking at all options right now for education because of the epic fail in public education. But you want them with peers too that are like-minded because your peers are so important in school. Nothing matters
Yes.
more, right? To a 13-year-old, it's what their peers think. So if we're in an atmosphere where the peers are thinking similar, and then you have the teachers coming in with that approach and other parents, and the community is just so much more healthy.
Kids really like to be given the opportunity to do something substantive in school. And when you look at the curriculum of a classical school, sometimes as a parent, it might seem intimidating at first for reading Shakespeare and Homer and studying Latin and doing all of these things. But I used to be the headmaster of one of these schools before I moved up here to Hillsdale. And so I got to witness hundreds of children from all kinds of different schooling backgrounds coming into this curriculum. And there was never a case where they weren't able to do it. And didn't benefit from it. And part of the reason is the curriculum is immediately interesting and substantive and exciting. Kids don't like to be talked down to, babies don't like it when you baby talk to them. At a pretty young age, they kind of lose their taste for baby talk. And I think older kids are like that too. And so if you go to a school that says, listen, Shakespeare was the greatest playwright that has ever lived, and you now get to read a Shakespeare play to, late middle schoolers, early high schoolers. And then you have a teacher who really knows that play and who really loves it and is really dynamic in the classroom. That's magic. And kids adore it. And they, it doesn't take too long. They're not like us. They're not adults. They can
They
learn
learn quicker.
quickly and they can change in what they're interested in and what they're capable of doing really fast.
And
And
they
so if
love
they're just,
experience. And they love experience too.
they love the opportunity to do something real.
All right, moms, right after this short break, we'll continue our discussion on education with Dr. Kathleen O'Toole from Hillsdale College. Stay with us. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their Schoolbox online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com. All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue with our interview, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your mama friends. Also, if you have any ideas or topics for our podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. Also, lastly, I do want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. We sure hope that you're a part of our sisterhood here. It's moms like us all across the country uniting to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So please visit us at momsforamerica.us. We have some incredible resources, seminars, webinars, all kinds of information to help you moms in your journey through motherhood. So please check us out. All right, now back to the show. Speaking of what's not real and real in this whole fake world of AI, which now all of us, parents right down to kids, are all trying to figure out how to deal with this world that's not real, that is complementing all of our past now. You did an article in Washington Times about the age of AI and classical education and how that combines with this new world that is obviously not real, but is a part of this world in a real way. It's just, it's crazy what AI is. And I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on this. How do we incorporate AI? How do you do that in classical education? Because it almost seems like an irony to have AI with classical education, but yet it is a tool. But yet parents are very concerned about the impact that it's going to have on not only education, but just this whole generation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so think about it for a minute. Artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It's a machine that aims to replicate human intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we use it for the education of our young children, then we're taking the teacher and the parent out of the equation, at least somewhat.
Yeah.
We've taken the position in our office and with our schools that humans need to be the ones educating the young humans. And it's clear to see why you wouldn't trust some kind of AI bot with
Right.
the education of your young child.
Sure.
When we do it, we at Hillsdale do not ever recommend it, but it is catching on at a surprising rate with other K through 12 schools. And I think it comes from a place of fear. I saw this about 10, 15 years ago when I was running my own classical school. The parents whose children attended that school, we were in kind of a tech hub in the country, and many of them worked for Apple or Microsoft or HP. And they were surrounded by people who had received training in technology of some sort when they were younger, and that training they perceived got them ahead when it came to their jobs. And so they thought, the best thing that I need to do for my child is make sure that they receive that same training so they're not left behind. And so we had a big discussion at the school 10 years ago about coding. Are we going to put coding in the curriculum?
Oh.
And I was always opposed to it because I thought Shakespeare will always last, grammar will always last, mathematics and science will always last. If we take time away from the precious 13 years that we have to educate these K through 12 students and spend it on something temporary, we're missing the opportunity to do something fundamental. And I'm so glad that we didn't make that choice at that time, because today, just a short 10 years later, coding is not the place to go. It's not if you know coding, It's not going to yield the type of tech job that seemed like it would 10 years ago. AI is doing the coding now.
Sure is.
And so the problem with chasing these skills is that they're temporary things. And the truth about a classical education is that it's an education in the eternal things. It's an education in how to think well and how to choose well. And
Right.
those things will always be relevant regardless of what's going on with technology. And so I
Right.
think it's very important that we protect the curriculum and insist that children have the opportunity to learn the enduring things that will be good for them no matter what. And then when they're older, they can pursue whatever training's necessary for whatever career they're going to do.
Right. How do you address AI with education then? So is this something that the school has taken a position on? Are they incorporating it in any way? There are some schools that are doing the management bots. They're trying to, even Secretary McMahon, you hear a lot of talk about AI with education and how we can use it as a benefit tool, but yet also not have it become our child's master, I guess, basically is. So
Yeah,
your
it's
thoughts on
very,
that with parents?
I mean, even the First Lady a couple of
Yeah.
weeks ago gave a speech
She
in
sure
which
did.
she recommended that this AI bot, who they named Plato, could play a role in making sure our children have access to all of Western civilization. And I see the allure of it. However, just think about the process of educating a child, and moms on the line will think about this.
Yeah.
You would never think about all the things that you teach your child as a parent. If from a very early age, how to go up the stairs correctly and,
Everything.
go down, we just 2 years ago, we were all about, you have to go down backwards. You're not old enough yet to go down forwards, because you might tip.
Right.
So go down backwards, and that lesson of how do you go down the stairs backwards for a little toddler? Well, in order for that to be taught properly, it has to be a human teaching that lesson.
Sure.
You would never outsource that to a robot,
Right.
because it's not just the question of what physically do to go down the stairs backwards as a toddler. It's the question of persuasion and saying it in the right way at the right moment, and the lesson only works because there's a human relationship
Right.
between the teacher, in this case, the parent, and the child. And all teaching is like that. And we talked earlier about how we've lost our vision for what education really is. We think today that education in schools is merely the transfer of information from one more experienced mind to a less experienced mind. And if that's all it is, sure, download whatever into the mind of a child from the AI bot, but that's not what education is. The
Sure.
relationship between teacher and student is a relationship, and it only works if the students respect the teacher, and the teacher has
Right.
to earn the respect of the students. And then and the teacher does that by explaining in a way that is appealing and persuasive and helpful to the
Yeah.
students. I just got done teaching myself about an hour ago. I teach 11th graders at Hillsdale Academy, at our private classical school here in town. And it's impossible to imagine anyone other than a human teaching those students effectively.
Right. It's so
So
true. I think about my kids.
it's really a silly and I think a dangerous
Yeah.
avenue that we're going down. And why are we doing it? We're doing it because we're scared about the results that our K through 12 education system is getting. We're looking for a solution. We feel pressure to come up with a quick solution. And so putting
Right.
AI teachers on the case seems like it could be possible. But the truth is, that's a shortcut. It's not a shortcut that's going to work. There are no shortcuts when it comes to the education of young children. We just have to do it the real way, which
Yeah.
means bring up a generation of teachers who know what they're talking about, give them the right curriculum, give them the right tools, and then have it happen in the human, true, natural way that it's always happened since.
Yeah. Beginning of time,
Since the
right?
beginning.
Yeah, I think of my kids too, just about the impact about the teachers that they still keep in contact with. You know, mine are in their 20s and my youngest is 21, but he became a paramedic and a fireman because of a teacher that was teaching. You know, it's just teachers inspire. And they, you know, set up a really high standard. My oldest had a teacher that was probably the hardest teacher at the college, and she was known for that, and he loved her because she demanded a very high bar. And he still today really does accredit a lot of his success to her tough principles in the classroom. And those are things that you can't mimic, to your point. When you look at education, what are some of the things that you would even say to our moms that are listening right now about considering education, classical, incorporating maybe some of your tools into homeschooling? There is really a big rise in homeschooling. A lot of our moms have taken that on because they don't trust the public sector of education, or they can't afford private. There's different challenges, right, in every home. Maybe just some of your words of encouragement as they look at education.
Well, I mean, I think there is a lot to be encouraged about when it comes to looking at what's going on in K-12 education today. And it's largely because of these parents who realized, I want my child to be educated. I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands to make sure that that happens well. And for some, that means choosing a charter school or a private school. For some, that means keeping their child enrolled in the public school and just getting to know the teachers better and asking questions about what is the curriculum and how can I help my child succeed in this school and sort of reclaiming their rightful place as primary educators of their children.
I love that
And then, of course, many
reclaiming. That's
moms
a
are
good.
homeschooling too. And Hillsdale has a lot of resources for parents of K-12 schools, and more are coming. I'll point to a couple that could be helpful to people.
Oh, good,
First,
please.
we have this network of classical charter and private schools across the country, and they're all working from the same curriculum. They're all working from the same mission, the same understanding of education, but they're reflective of their local community, and it's the local community that makes them go
Sure,
and makes them
sure does.
successful. So they're always looking for talent. They're always looking for families who kind of share this classical vision for their child's education. And they're a great option for parents who want their children to have the best curriculum
And
that
is that on your website?
the directory of the schools is on our website. It's k12.hillsdale.edu. And we also have a lot of resources for parents there, including curricular resources for homeschooling parents. We have an American History and Civics curriculum that's out. Anyone can download it for free. It's great for homeschooling use. It's great for classroom use. We have a directory of excellent children's books. The most important thing you can do as a parent of young children is read good books to them aloud. And if you do that every day for 30 minutes, amazing. You cannot imagine the good that that does for the mind of a child. I'm saying this as someone who used to run a classical school, and we had kindergartners coming in every year, and you could tell when their moms had read to them and dads. And it's just this amazing foundation for all of the rest of their academic achievement. And if you're looking for good books, we have a website called corevirtues.hillsdale.edu, which is a directory of excellent children's books, the kinds of books you can buy, and it's trusted resources, and you can learn about the books in advance and know that they will be a really solid foundation for the imagination of your child.
Well, great words of advice, and I love that about reading. I read to my kids always, and they then just, you couldn't skip a night. You always had to be reading. You know,
Oh
they
yeah, it's part
become
of the
so,
routine.
right? They become so intrigued in all that. And I wish I would have continued reading. Actually, when I look at myself, I go, I just completely have stopped reading. And this is the
Oh,
challenge
you
of
got to start
us.
again.
I know, in this day and age where everything is just the technology, and that's what you fear about for the kids too, and that's what I love about focusing on this classical education is that we've been replaced by technology and listening and podcasts. I shouldn't say that because we're talking podcasts today, but podcasts are so educational. They're on the same forefront of this. But it really is a challenge in today's world to hold on to something classical that has a legacy of producing so much better options for education. We've moved away from it.
On our website is a list of recommended books, and it's taken from the Hillsdale curriculum. So it's great
Nice.
for homeschooling families. It's all divided by subject. We'll recommend some stuff for you for art, music, PE, science, math, all of it. But it's a really good, one of the beautiful things about these schools is when the children enroll, the whole family is along for the ride.
I
And so
love
these
that.
schools become like centers of learning for the entire community. And the parents are doing the summer reading along with the children. And the thing about classical books is they're really delightful to read, even if you're an adult. They're the kinds of things that are worth reading, even if you're grown up. And
I love
so
that.
it's a great place to begin, Debbie, for people like you who wish that you had some meaty stuff to read.
Yeah.
And it brings so much peace and joy to your life if
I know.
that's an element of it. It
I've
takes you
got a
away from noise
stack.
and
And I was when you heard Charlie Kirk said, I don't know what he's read 100, 200 books a year. You just were like, oh man, you just got to renew this. And it really does start in the home. And like you said, summer reading, those were always different things that would help everybody get on their reading path here. So great advice. I know you said I could call you Katie. So thank you, Katie. I
Thank
appreciate you coming
you.
on. And again, the website for the moms that want to go ahead and take advantage of all those great resources and find out more about Hillsdale College, K through 12, and all of the incredible assets that you have for our moms. What was that again?
It's K12.hillsdale.edu. And more is coming all the time. We provide everything that we provide at no cost to the schools and the parents that use it because we want to see a recovery of excellence in American education, and it all starts in the home.
Amen. Well, thank you, and appreciate all the great work you're doing there. And please send all of our best there. You are a light, truly, in the world of darkness when it comes to education, and we need more of it. So, thank you so much to all that
Thank
you're doing
you.
over there.
Thank you.
Great discussion with you, Katie. Thank you so much again for joining us. We so appreciate what Hillsdale's College is doing in the academic world and the resources that they are providing for our moms. So moms, go ahead and check it all out. All right, and to you moms, thank you for being a part of this program. And again, please share this with your mom friends. And also, if you haven't yet, please go to momsforamerica.us and sign up for all of our amazing programs, our resources to help you and support you, moms. That's what we're here to do, help you encourage and inspire and educate you, moms. So please go to momsforamerica.us and join our movement. I say this every week. It's from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress. Moms for America is here to help you, moms. So please join the movement and take advantage of all the great information we have to help you, moms. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. And I will see you next week on another podcast. Thanks so much. Talk with you soon. A special thank you to our sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.